Comedy is a vivid account of an adolescent's struggle with emotions, relations, and skin conditions. Lump Boy Logan, tonight in The Wire at 9:45 here on BBC Radio 3. It's all right.
We're on 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's just gone 1 o'clock. Time for the news from John Shea.
On the third day of his state visit to Britain, the Pope has issued his most strongly worded apology yet to those who've suffered child abuse by Catholic priests. During a Mass at Westminster Cathedral, he expressed his deep sorrow for what he described as unspeakable crimes and said the scandal had brought shame and humiliation on the entire church. Afterwards, he spoke to thousands of young people gathered outside who greeted him with enthusiastic cheers. Earlier this morning, Pope Benedict met David Cameron and other political leaders, including the Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg and the acting opposition leader Harriet Harman. Later today, he will attend an open-air prayer vigil at Hyde Park in London, an event which is expected to draw large crowds. Opponents of the papal visit plan to march through the centre of the capital. Six men, five of them street cleaners, who were detained yesterday morning on suspicion of plotting an attack during the Pope's visit, remain in custody. The Metropolitan Police say they've searched several properties connected to the arrests, but nothing significant has been found. The International Cricket Council has begun an investigation into scoring patterns during yesterday's one-day international between England and Pakistan at the Oval. Officials are acting on information supplied by the Sun newspaper before the match. The ICC has angered the England team by not clarifying which side is under investigation. There have been scattered attacks across Afghanistan as people vote in a parliamentary election. A policeman and five pro-government militiamen were killed in Baghlan province in the north, while in nearby Balkh, three people died in a roadside blast. There was also an attack in the capital, Kabul. The Liberal Democrats are gathering in Liverpool for the start of their annual conference, with their leader Nick Clegg openly admitting that he expects a rough ride from delegates. He said fears about spending cuts could mask the early achievements of the coalition government. And the weather, it'll be a mostly bright and dry afternoon with occasional light showers in the west. High temperatures of 17 degrees Celsius. The news and weather on BBC Radio 3 at 1:02.
And now today's edition of the Early Music Show, presented by Lucy Skeeping.
Welcome to the first of our two programmes this weekend from the 2010 Edinburgh Festival. We're going to hear highlights from a concert recorded in one of the city's many historic churches, Greyfriars Kirk, a large and somewhat austere building that stands on the site of an old Franciscan friary. But perhaps what attracts the huge numbers of visitors each year is in the churchyard, a touching memorial to a scruffy little dog known affectionately as Greyfriars Bobby. The story goes that in Victorian times, this little Skye Terrier lay each day for 14 years on the grave of his master, a faithful act summed up in the inscription on the dark headstone, "Let his loyalty and devotion be a lesson to us all." Today's music, though, is about as far away from the often chilly climes of Scotland as you could get. It's from the heat of the Amazon jungle, from Bolivia, the legacy of the colonisation by the Spaniards, which began when Christopher Columbus set foot in the New World in 1492. Of course, the early conquistadors wanted to get their hands on the fantastic material wealth the land had to offer. But they also set about the major task of religious conversion. And when the first Jesuit missionaries arrived to spread the Christian message amongst the Chiquitos and Moxos Indians, one of the most effective tools they had was music. Some of it they brought with them from Spain. Some was composed in Bolivia. And some, as you'll hear, was produced by the natives themselves, many of whom became extraordinarily skillful in mastering the Western styles of the day. Our performers are Florilegium, led by Ashley Solomon, who's done a great deal of research into what's become known as South American Baroque. And they were joined for this concert by four young Bolivian singers. So let's start with a piece which began their concert, a sonata preserved in the Chiquitos missions. The composer is unknown, but we can be pretty sure he was a European, possibly from Italy, who came to the New World in the early 18th century. Sonatas like this were performed by the natives themselves and heard not only in the colourful, newly built churches, but in the classrooms and dining halls of the settlements. Thank you. Florilegium with one of the 20 sonatas preserved in the Chiquitos Missions, a highlight from their concert of Bolivian Baroque music recorded in the 2010 Edinburgh Festival. So how did the group's director Ashley Solomon get drawn into this rather unusual area of early music?
Over 7 years ago, I first got involved in Bolivian Baroque music when I went out to Bolivia to audition singers for the first project, which involved four soloists collaborating with Florilegium on music from this archives. And since then, we've recorded three volumes of CDs of this repertoire from three different missions, from Chiquitanas, from Mojos, and from Sucre. And now we have a Bolivian choir that's based in Santa Cruz from all over the country. Again, that followed a rigorous audition process that I did in 2005 for a project in 2006. And the two CDs that we've made with the choir so far on Channel Classics have both won a number of awards, and most of the reviewers who've heard the choir find it quite a unique sound and a unique project. So it's very exciting that it continues still. The reason I got so excited about being involved in Bolivian Baroque music in the first place was when I was approached by Piotr Navrot, the Jesuit Polish priest, who's been working out in Bolivia for a number of years, and he told me about this treasure trove of music held in two main archives in Mojos and Chiquitanas that hold together over 11,000 pages of manuscript music from the 18th century, which is an enormous archive of music and which really depicts how important music was when the Jesuits first went into the missions in Bolivia. The music is quite unique. It's based on music from Europe, so a lot of the music came over with the missionaries, but it has a Bolivian flavour, I like to call it. It has jaunty rhythms. It's very dance-like. In its celebration of God, it's quite naive because the texts are very, very simple, really. And most of the serious music used in prayer is in major keys, not minor keys. So there's something quite happy and positive about the outlook that the Jesuits instilled in the Indians when they first encouraged them through this music.
Ashley Solomon. Well, the next piece demonstrates just how the two cultures could combine, the traditions of the Spanish and those of the natives of Bolivia. Musically, it's a conventional Baroque sound, a pretty obbligato line played by Ashley on the flute. But the language is that of the Chiquitos, a religious lyric, but with a very personal feel, far from the solemnity we often associate with church music. Today, Lord Jesus, I come to you. In you, I find my happiness.
Thank you.
Haima Liai Jesus from the Missionary Churches of Bolivia, performed by Bolivian singer Giancarla Tissera with Florilegium. We know the composer of this next piece, Juan de Araujo. Born in Spain in the mid-1600s, he travelled to South America at a young age, working in Lima, in Panama, and in the Cathedral of La Plata, where he performed for more than 30 years. It's a rich text intended for the liturgy of the Nativity, accompanied with the lively strumming of the guitar. If the lover falls asleep, wounded by love, he wants to rest on a bed of flowers. Let no one move, only the soul stays awake.
Amore singolare, che le fece venire.
Carla Tissera, Karina Troiano, Alina Delgadillo and Esteban Manzano. Four Bolivian singers adding an authentic touch to this programme of Bolivian music given by Florilegium. Much of the music we're hearing has only recently been rediscovered, so how did it feel to perform it for the first time? Ashley Solomon again.
The first piece of music I encountered was Pastoretti e Ceppi Flauta, a recorder concerto, and this was given to Florilegium when we made our first trip to Bolivia in 2002 to take part in the festival. We took a programme of European Baroque music, and part of the process of being involved in the music festival in Bolivia is that each ensemble is given a piece of manuscript from the archives to present in their programme, sort of added piece. And Piotr Navrot very sensibly gave me, as a recorder player, a recorder concerto that I'd never come across. And so this has been one of the mainstays of our programme and repertoire. And one of the most extraordinary things about playing this piece for the first time in Bolivia for Florilegium were that when we were in the Mission Church of San Javier, when I played the slow movement of the concerto, an awful lot of the audience actually sang along while I played. They knew it. They used it as part of their mass and prayer. And they weren't inhibited at all to sing along while I was playing, which was a quite extraordinary experience.
Ashley Solomon, the recorder soloist there, leading Florilegium in Pastoretta e Ceppi Flauta, preserved in the archives of eastern Bolivia. Music like that could be heard on a variety of instrumental combinations. The more joyful the occasion, the more instruments, even bugles and bells, could be added. The Jesuits rated music a vital part of religious conversion. And so alongside pottery, painting, wood carving and weaving, the Indians were taught how to construct violins, violas, cellos, organs, harps and so on. Let's hear another sonata now. And it's quite challenging technically, showing just how skillful the Indian musicians became by the 1700s.
Thank you.
An anonymous sonata from the missions of the Chiquitos Indians of Bolivia, composed and performed in the settlements under the guidance of the Jesuit missionaries. Of course, even more than instrumental playing, singing was something everyone could do, and the missionaries soon found that not only did the Indians excel in it, but it was a perfect way to draw them into Christianity. They were taught complex polyphonic music, copying manuscripts and eventually composing themselves, psalms, motets, masses and even operas in a mix of Latin, Spanish and their own indigenous languages. We're going to hear one of a set of three Vesper psalms attributed to the Italian-born Domenico Zippoli, a Jesuit composer working in Cordoba. Due to ill health, he never actually made it to the New World himself, but his music was heard widely in the mission settlements. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who takes delight in all his commands.
See you. Seculorum, seculorum, amen. Et in secula, seculorum, amen. Et in secula, seculorum, seculorum.
Giancarlo Tissera leading the other vocalists and the ensemble Florilegium in Beatus Vir, attributed to Domenico Zippoli. Well, that was officially the last piece in their concert, but of course the audience wanted more, and so Florilegium's director Ashley Solomon stepped forward and announced an encore, a traditional folk tune he'd learnt on one of his very first trips to Bolivia. And just to prove how much this repertoire had got under his skin, he swapped his flute for a traditional Bolivian instrument, a quena. And as you'll hear, the singers joined in too, not with their voices, but on percussion in the form of dried ox nails. Folk tune from Bolivia, bringing to an end this programme of highlights from the concert given by Florilegium at the 2010 Edinburgh Festival. And we continue in the same vein on tomorrow's early music show. In fact, Edinburgh devoted a whole week to South American Baroque music. And tomorrow we'll hear Ensemble Elima with lively music from a Bolivian fiesta. I hope you'll join me.
That was Lucy Skeeping, and as she said, you can join her again tomorrow at the same time, just after the 1 o'clock news.
In opera, dazzling scenery and flamboyant costumes can be very seductive, of course, but sometimes you don't need them at all. Mozart's Idomeneo may not be his best-loved opera, but at this year's Edinburgh Festival, it got a cracker of a concert performance with luxury, stellar casting. Joyce DiDonato, Rosemary Joshua, Kurt Streit and Emma Bell. And it was conducted with what one critic described as cut-glass perfection by Sir Roger Norrington. Mozart's Idomeneo in Opera on 3, continuing Radio 3's coverage of the 2010 Edinburgh Festival, tonight at 6 o'clock.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's 2 o'clock, and now we have an edited repeat of last Monday's lunchtime recital from Wigmore Hall. It's introduced by Sean Rafferty.
A very good afternoon and welcome to Wigmore Hall for today's lunchtime concert here on Radio 3, the first of the autumn season. We have two exceptional players to make sure that we're entertained royally, both outstanding on their own together. They were the BBC New Generation artists, and as a pair, creating a mercurial, bewitching magic. Ferociously gifted, said Jeff Brown in The Times. Alina Ibragimova and Cedric Tiberghien are soulmates. They live and breathe the music as one. Well, there are just two works in today's recital, separated by less than 20 years, but in many ways worlds apart. The second work is one of the very few forays into chamber music by the great operatic composer Richard Strauss. He was just 23 when he wrote his violin sonata. The first sonata, though, that Alina and Cedric play is by Brahms, the first of three, written in 1879, just a year after his violin concerto, and while he was on holiday in his beloved Carinthia in Austria. A fertile time, melodies here are so thick on the ground, he said, that one must be careful not to tread on them. The melody is one of his own. The sonata is based on his song Regenlied, a setting of a poem by Klaus Groth about the mesmeric effect of rain falling and the memories of childhood evoked, particularly strong in the last movement, where it forms the main theme. The work begins quietly, though, insinuating itself very sweetly into our consciousness and affections with its wistful tinge of tristesse, maybe a reflection of his unrequited adoration for Schumann's wife Clara. Rian Evans in The Guardian thought so when Alina and Cedric played this sonata recently at Cheltenham. A potent reminder of the role that Clara played in both Brahms and Schumann's lives, she said, was due in no small part to the breathtaking intimacy of our artists. And here they are again, so to play Brahms' sonata for violin and piano number 1 in G major, Alina Ibragimova and Cedric Tiberghien.
Thank you. Thank you.